In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much, dude.
Ready for a very special feud today?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why don't you tell the good folk, our pleasant listeners, what we're doing here today?
So we take a movie, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against. Simple.
Simple enough. And which movie are we feuding today?
Well, this one's special. It's a fan request. So big thanks to Naren. You can find him on Instagram at BuildTechNaren. And the movie that we're feuding is Batman vs. Superman.
Excuse me. I actually looked this up to feud this. And the name of the movie is Batman v. Superman.
V. Superman.
Not vs, not versus. V.
V. Superman. I think that's a very American way to say it. Also, Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. I forgot about that.
And that's the movie we're going to be feuding today. Vidur, any initial thoughts?
Well, I have many initial thoughts. I have watched this movie many a times.
Same.
It is also by one of my favorite directors of all time, Zack Snyder.
Ooh, is it?
Well, I just love Watchmen, as you know, and I like Zack Snyder still, despite many things he's done. I'm not saying whether BVS is a part of those things.
Before and after, you can say that. Before and after this movie.
Yeah, before and after, he was good and bad, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I'll leave this movie up to the forthcoming feud to figure out.
100%. I agree with you. I love Watchmen. I love 300 as well. So he's done some great stuff.
Do you love Sucker Punch?
I do not love Sucker Punch. I'll just say that.
That was before. But yeah. You know what? Why don't we toss the coin and figure out what we can or cannot say? I will say I saw this movie in theaters. This movie had amazing marketing, like brilliant marketing to at least someone who's a Superman and Batman fan like me.
Yeah. And it came out in 2016, sort of this heyday of superhero movies.
That's right.
Mostly thanks to MCU. But they did a pretty good job of carving out a niche.
Well, you thought the DCU was building up to something. I don't know that it has yet. They're still trying. We were at Comic-Con and we met a lot of fans who were just DC and DCEU fans.
Like hardcore, like only DCU fans. Yeah.
And that used to be me. These guys were my superheroes. And I don't know that they are my superheroes. The MCU has expanded that purview a lot. But I was invested in this movie. Should we get the coin toss? Yeah. I want to talk more. I want to talk more openly.
Let's do it.
So I'll be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for. BVS colon DOJ.
Oh, nice.
And tails means I argue against. Let's go. And it's tails.
Let me guess, Vidur. This was one of the worst Zack Snyder efforts ever.
Let me breathe a sigh of relief. I can speak. This movie ruined Batman and Superman.
Relax, man. Relax. I think this was the best DCU movie these guys have made. 100%.
Breathe.
Name a better DCU movie.
Breathe. Aquaman is better than this movie.
Aquaman?
Just breathe. Now, I have to say, it's brutal because we have to go rewatch this movie.
Mind that at all.
And I'm dreading it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now, are we going to rewatch the original theatrical cut or the ultimate edition?
Let's stay true and let's stick with the theatrical cut.
Okay, good. Because that's going to represent the theatrical experience, which was shite.
Right. We'll talk about it. We'll get into it.
Let's talk about it. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's do it.
Vikram, I hate to do this because it's just going to end the feud instantly. You know,
that's
it's just going to...
Not possible.
It's just going to like cut you short. It's like a slap across the face. But I want to quote my friend, the movie reviewer, Ryan Syrek.
Your friend.
From Omaha, Nebraska, writing for a publication called The Reader.
Okay.
And we don't quote people too much.
We almost never do because,
it just encapsulates it so truly. So I'm just going to start with that.
Okay, let's see what your piggyback review is.
Some diehard DC comic fans will try to do mental gymnastics to describe the crap biscuit they were just force-fed as delicious. They shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
They should demand better.
Okay.
And better than this shouldn't be hard. Boom, mic drop, hashtag Ryan Syrek, end of feud. That's it. What can you say? Anything you say now is going to be mental gymnastic.
Firstly, screw this Ryan guy, all right? It makes no sense. I think this is the best DCU movie. I stand by it. Theatrical cut or Ultimate Edition, notwithstanding. No one's made anything better
than
Shazam
is better than this.
Shazam sucks. Shazam's for like 5-year-olds, man. So if you
Green
truly...
Lantern, not DCEU.
Oh, come on.
But Green Lantern, the
blasphemy.
Movie is better than
That's
this.
Blasphemy.
This movie is blasphemy. This movie is just wasted potential, man. It's so sad. Zack Snyder, what did you do?
You know what? We can keep going in circles, generalizing how good or bad this movie is. Let's talk about the movie.
Okay.
At hand.
Let's start with a name. It's a dumb name.
What Batman versus Superman?
Batman v Superman.
That's how Americans say VS.
Golden Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's a precursor to the Justice League.
The thing that's going to screw the movie up is in the name of the movie. The fact that it's going to be Dawn of Justice. They're going to force in these cameos from Justice League people and Justice League movie, like whatever. What was it? CCTV footage. This movie should be called Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice : CCTV.
Double colon. Bold.
Double
bold,
colon.
Man. That's bold.
What was up? This is so sad.
I didn't even mind the Aquaman, all of that stuff. I liked the Flash scene. I loved the use of Wonder Woman in this movie.
Did you like the fact that some graphic designer spent time designing logos for all the Justice League characters just to put the videos into folders?
Well, technically, Lex Luthor got that done, so yeah.
Okay, so Lex Luthor is designing costumes essentially for this movie.
I read this somewhere in my research for this movie, and it was like one of the points that the researcher brought up. They're like, did Lex Luthor actually have a design team that made all these logos?
Yeah, less logos in the movie, more logic. That's what I want.
You know what? I'm going to go head on with this feud, and I'm going to get the stuff that I know you're going to bitch about the most out of the way, like... on the top.
No, oh, how do you know what I'm going to bitch about the most?
What about the Martha moment with her?
Oh, I am going to bitch about that the most. Yeah. You have any mental gymnastics there?
There's no mental gymnastics, but I actually remember that when I saw this movie, or whenever this movie came out, and when I saw it for the first time.
Oh, wait, I forgot to do one thing. What moment are we talking about?
The Martha moment.
Why did you say that name?
The moment felt, or that scene particularly, or his particular use of Martha and not mom or whatever it was, it felt slightly...
awful?
Not awful, but like...
Cringe?
No, I just like...
Brutal? Heart-wrenching?
I'll do it myself. It felt devoid of logic at that time.
Thank you.
But...
you know, we usually say these things followed by concession.
No, this is not a concession. I do have concessions for you, don't worry. And they'll come whenever they need to come up. But I feel like this moment's aged really well. Because now you truly understand why he said Martha and what the implications of that moment were.
I don't. Please do elaborate.
Well, firstly, they do show Superman trying to explain the situation to Batman before their ultimate fight begins.
Not enough. Not enough.
Quite enough, because Batman doesn't give him enough room to...
He just fly into the air and just yell, Bruce, Lex has my mom. That's why I'm here.
No, that's not enough.
You need to calm down.
No, that's not going to work.
And then use the line, if I wanted, you'd be dead already.
No, think about this, man. Batman's prepped so much for this battle. And they're both kind of disillusioned. And they're both sort of being puppeted around by Lex Luthor's character in this movie. So it's very tough for Superman to get through to Batman. And for Batman to get through to Superman as well. It's the same situation.
Let's say I grant you that. Please, Martha, do explain how it's aged.
It's aged really well because it totally gives context to A, Superman's situation in that particular moment, and also Batman's reaction to that particular moment as well. And why, like...
Vikram, you're trying so hard.
To me, I'll tell
so
you...
sad.
I'll tell you what was jarring was the immediate turn. When I first saw the movie, as soon as the Martha scene happened and they go to that epic warehouse Martha rescue scene, that turn didn't feel compelling enough. But in this rewatch, it feels completely...
The premise doesn't feel compelling enough. The scene should be like... Oh, I've taken Martha. She's in some secret location that I don't know. That, by the way, Alfred figures out in like a moment. And then Superman should be like, oh, give me a second. I'll just go to every location ever and use my super hearing and come back. He shouldn't.
Superman
need to...
can't do that.
He can do anything he wants in
this
movie.
He can't go to every location possible and use his super hearing.
He's disappeared off the face of the planet. He's in like some mountains, vision of his father.
Repent.
Then Lois gets thrown from a building by Luthor, right. And then he disappears.
Yeah.
How?
Super hearing.
Okay.
But it's not like you can super hear 6 billion people at the same time.
He has two people he cares about in his life, Lois Lane and Martha. He should just like super hear for them. Clearly he has a way.
Well, yeah, and he did it.
No, and then Batman says, I'll go save Martha. What?
Well, it's kind of a redemption for him, right?
But Superman should be like, no, BRB, just tell me where
Superman's
she is.
Superman's pretty messed up at that point in time, if you remember.
No, he's not. He's fine. He's standing up.
Standing up is not just Superman. Everyone is standing up, but he's not Superman.
We're
he's been hit with
so past the moment. The moment I promised I was going to bitch about.
Okay.
Save Martha is the crux of this movie.
Right.
They foreshadow it by repeatedly showing Martha Wayne and then Lex Luthor saying Martha, Martha, Martha when he's kidnapped his mom. No one talks like that. I've lived in the US. People refer to each other by their first names. Even they don't talk like that.
Lex Luthor.
Okay.
It's not a normal person.
I can't even wait to get to Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And then why would you even say save Martha?
But he knows what the reaction Batman's going to have to that as opposed to save my mother.
Wait. Are you claiming that Clark Kent knew that Bruce Wayne's mother's name is Martha? So that's why he said it?
Possibly. Don't you see that?
Then he should open by saying that. He should be Bruce. Hey, what up? Martha.
Yeah.
And then that's sorted.
No, that's way that off. Is not sorted at all, firstly.
You're way off. I think the movie's trying to say that he's saying, save my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's referring to her coincidentally or contrivially by her first name to say, listen, you're going to kill me, but save Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And then Martha is just like, why did you say that name? Happens to be the name of Bruce Wayne.
Oh.
I'm sure that's what the movie's trying to show. And that's awful. Imagine if like a bully is beating you up and you're like trying to threaten him. I'm going to call my mom, right? Maybe you're doing that. Whatever. You used to do that. Your mom was a teacher. I knew you used to do that. And then you refer to her by her first name.
Okay.
If you want, you should say, if he said, save my mom.
Uh-huh.
I might not even mind this movie overall. Like but this Martha moment.
If
so
he
bad.
Says save my mom and Batman still has the same reaction and actually goes and saves his mom.
Why does Batman have the reaction? It's not because their mothers share a name. It's because he realizes he's a human as well. He's not an alien. He's been thinking that. Oh,
and he finally understands how Superman or why Superman is in that situation. Why he wants to kill Batman and like why Lex Luthor is at the...
No, but Batman hated Superman despite Superman coming to fight him, right? The whole movie's been building up to Superman being like an alien, super powerful demigod.
Right.
So apparently Batman realizes that, oh, he has a mother after all. If he said, save my mom, it would have had the same effect.
I don't see that.
And then Lois Lane shows up. She's like, oh, it's his mom. It's just so sad. It was so good. The movie had so much potential, dude. It could have been so good.
You think that Martha moment is what ruined the movie for you?
Yes.
I disagree, dude.
Because you wait 2 hours, you power through a shitty plot. By the way, David Goyer, who wrote this movie.
Yeah.
The typical failing upwards, man. I mean, I know he wrote like the Dark Knight trilogy along with the Nolan dudes, like Chris and his brother John. Is that how they refer to themselves?
Call him Christopher Nolan out of respect, all right?
Yeah. And then he just got like Man of Steel, not so good. Batman vs. Superman, awful. Other movies, he recently wrote Terminator Dark Fate. This guy's been on a spiral, and this movie was the start of it. David Goyer.
I actually think the script and the story are the strongest points of this movie, man. This is an anomaly when it comes to superhero films, as of what we know today. It's the story that's interesting and gripping, and the CGI and the action are supplements.
They had the potential, dude. Also, 2016, this movie came out. Civil War came out. Civil War did it so much better.
Did what so much better? It was just action and CGI that it did better. The story's like, blah, whatever.
No, it actually showed you why these two people were against each other. Tony Stark felt the burden of causing like collateral damage and so was actually on the government side. And Captain America is like, I've seen what happens when government controls powers. Here, what? Lex Luthor has been badly writtenly manipulating them. And Batman thinks if there's even a 1% chance, let's say I believe him. If there's a 1% chance, you have to kill Superman. And then Superman is against Batman. Why? And by the way, this is solved at the Ultimate Edition a little bit. Because they just show more reasons for Superman to be against. But they didn't do it. They didn't pull it off. They didn't justify the movie being called Batman v Superman, which is just so sad. The comics did it better. There's so many comics. The Dark Knight Returns, which is one of the best Batman stories ever written. This movie ripped it off and did it so badly. It's so much wasted potential.
It didn't rip off. It took inspiration certain parts of that story. And
they threw in Doomsday and they wasted Doomsday. They threw in the death of Superman. They literally threw in everything but the kitchen sink. But they also threw in the kitchen sink. Batman literally takes the kitchen sink and hits Superman on the head with it.
Doomsday is my first out of the two concessions I have for you. Doomsday was ugly. It was the character was so ugly. Like the CG work there.
Don't call him a character, firstly. He's a useless last act monster. He's just...
If the CG would have been better, I wouldn't have minded it that much, man. It's just the CG was, like, not good to look at.
Do we get Doomsday in a movie and he looks like the Abomination from the very first MCU Hulk movie? That's just so sad. It's like they forgot to give him, like, hair. They forgot to give him, like, texture, features. What did they do?
I mean, they were trying to go for that whole, like, this is literally an experiment in a pond within a ship and this is what it comes out to be. But it was just... I guess it was meant to be ugly, but it was just so off-puttingly ugly that it didn't make sense.
So was Lex Luthor, by the way. Like
Lex Luthor was interesting.
He was off-putting and ugly.
Which is what he's supposed to be, if you think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Lex Luthor is supposed to be bald, which he wasn't in this movie. And
well, we've seen old Lex Luthor mostly, and he's been bald. So it's fine if he has hair right now. And they end up showing him bald by the end of it.
Listen, I bring Lex Luthor up in connection to Doomsday because apparently Lex created him. Blood of my blood. Lex also names him, which is dumb. Doomsday's name is Doomsday. I hate so much about this. It just...
Wait, do you have a problem with the portrayal of the character Doomsday from the comics in this movie?
There is no... Forget that. I don't care if they didn't
because
match him.
Because Superman, Batman has like 100 villains and if they want to shoehorn them in
Doomsday's,
like six movies...
Doomsday and the Death of Superman was like the comic book saga and series that rescued Superman when there was no interest in it. So it is the most iconic. Yes, if they took the biggest villain of all time in the Batman universe, let's say it was Joker, and just made him look like an idiot... then I would care, you know? Like Jared Leto Joker that has damage tattooed on him. It pisses you off if you care about these characters.
You're totally overestimating the importance of Doomsday in the whole Superman civilization.
That. How did they create Doomsday? Lex Luthor takes fingerprints that he rips off using little pieces of kryptonite that he then uses to enter the ship that communicates with him in English, grants him access based on the fingerprints. Yeah, the Kryptonian
ship. They showed an entire movie of the entire planet communicating English, and now is when you have a problem with that fact?
When they were showing that, I assume it was dubbed.
Russell Crowe's just talking the entire movie in English, and now you have a problem
that
with...
That, I assume, was like dubbed for our benefit.
Acha, theek hai.
The fact that he can communicate with the ship makes no sense. And then... he creates Doomsday how? He takes Zod's body and like these...
his own DNA.
Kryptonian process. It's just so sad. It's so dumb.
I didn't mind the conception part that much, man. And to your point about Luthor, I think the quirkiness made it a little more interesting. If it would have been the same Luthor that we've seen in comics and movies and cartoons, then that would have been boring.
If Mark Zuckerberg had played Lex Luthor instead of Jesse Eisenberg, who's most famous for playing Mark Zuckerberg, he would have done a better job. What is going on? This guy's... half autistic, maybe, a spaz, an idiot.
A super genius.
A super genius is apparently taken for granted, even though he doesn't do anything that's smart in this movie. It's horrible. His portrayal was horrible. He's just like, welcome. Oh, yeah, basketball. Superman. Oh, Martha. What is going on? He thought he was playing the Joker, I think. Like, he lost it. Lex Luthor is iconic. He's menacing. He's smart. He's actually a foe to Superman, even though he never wins. And sometimes he does win. And he's been played by Gene Hackman, right? In the original Superman?
Yeah.
Like, everybody who played Lex Luthor in the TV show did it better than Jesse Eisenberg, man.
I think what came in the way of his portrayal was they tried to show a younger Lex Luthor and the sort of inception of the rivalry with Superman. So what you're talking about and all the portrayals you're talking about has been like a set rivalry, like decades in play, and this is where Lex Luthor's reached, like old bald Lex Luthor. So to see like their own take on a younger Lex Luthor, I didn't mind it at all.
But his motivations make no sense. His plan makes no sense.
World domination for an evil guy? Why not? That makes complete sense.
But like, why does he want to pit them against each other?
Because he knows that that's the easiest way to get rid of, if not both, then one of them.
He has access to kryptonite.
Well, he doesn't know what to do with it. Clearly.
So he just outsources it to Batman.
He's literally outsourcing Superman's death to Batman in this movie.
This is ridiculous, man. Your mental gymnastics are coming to
play. And what really works well is the way he puppeteers both of them into, well, almost destroying each other.
He puppeteers both of them into a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what he does. A well-deserved 28%.
I don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes at all with this movie, man.
Oh my God, this movie should be a 2.8% on Rotten Tomatoes, dude. What are they doing? What about the flashbacks within the flashbacks, by the way? All the setup for this movie, I already covered the shit name, Dawn of Justice, the logos and the CCTV. But even the flash forwards, I guess you'd call them, they have in the movie. One, Batman using guns. And then, like, the evil Superman Vision.
What a scene, dude. What a scene.
I'm gonna slap you, please.
Everything about that scene, the tone, visualness, and like as soon as like it becomes apparent that it's a dream.
You just said visualness.
It was beautiful, dude.
That's how much you're reaching.
I think that's what Zack Snyder's like biggest pro is. Scenes like that.
His biggest pro is scenes like the scene where Batman uses his tow cable gun that completely mimics the panel from The Dark Knight Returns. That's what I love Zack Snyder for. That's what he did so beautifully in Watchmen.
I mean, that stuff's great, but I feel like it's scenes like these, the warehouse scene where they rescue Martha, those are the scenes, man, because you see the immediate change or shift in the visual language of the scene.
But it made no sense in the story. They just showed it and they didn't even use the setup in Justice League, so it's like not even paid off. This was the time, I guess, when movies were so busy setting up other movies. This movie did it the worst. And then he comes out of his vision and then he sees the Flash from the Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first watched this movie, I had no idea who that person was.
The Flash character? That's apparent.
He looked different than, what's his name? Ezra Miller? Yeah. The guy who plays Flash?
Yeah.
He didn't even look like him. He had like some like fuzzy facial hair.
He has a light beard, but it's so apparent that it's Flash. And because we're nerds and we know what Flashpoint Paradox was, we knew it was Flash.
And it's not apparent. And he's his lowest of the key. That never pays off, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, talk about this movie not aging well. Like, they set stuff up that it never pays off. And then it's like a vision in a vision. It's like Inception going on. First he wakes up from his...
It's more like vision after vision.
Oh my God, Vikram.
Dude,
to tackle
both your points, the dream sequence with Superman, that's basically there to reinforce his hatred for Superman, right? It doesn't mean that scene necessarily needs to pay off from a plot point of view. He hates Superman. That sequence makes him realize the true potential of the destruction that Superman can cause. So it reinforces it.
He shouldn't trust his dreams. Superman is doing something that doesn't make any sense for the version of Superman that is in the universe.
No, it's just like how he perceives Superman and how he perceives like this is the death and destruction Superman can cause.
One vision justified.
It is a precursor to Steppenwolf and Darkseid. And all of those things as well. They show the dark side fairy creatures.
Parademons.
Yes. They show the sign on
Omega.
It sets up stuff for the future as well.
That never happens. So
it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. Even Steppenwolf in Justice League like has a call out to Darkseid when he's dying.
# release the Snyder Cut.
Screw the Snyder Cut, man.
How dare you, firstly.
Oh, wow.
Release the Snyder Cut. And, you know, talking about this scene reminds me, we haven't even spoken about Batman and Superman.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's hard to say who sucks more from a story perspective.
Who sucks more? It's very evident who the true hero and the fundamental pillar of this movie is.
Ben Affleck is better, yes.
Ben Affleck is so good. He's not even like better compared to Henry Cavill's Superman. He's so good in this movie. Henry Cavill sucks. Let's just leave it at that.
Call it a concession. Make it 3 concessions instead of 2.
If you
call it a concession, I'll give you my first concession.
I don't want to trade concessions. I'm not desperate enough yet. But I think Henry Cavill in this movie does the best Superman than in any of the Superman movies he's done, which is basically three. He's done 3.
No, I mean, you're counting Justice League.
I'm counting his portrayal of Superman in all 3 movies. I think this was the best 100%.
I think
Man of Steel was awful.
Justice League is by far the best because he's barely in it.
Okay.
And followed by Man of Steel.
You thought he was good in Man of Steel?
He's not good in either of them, but he's horrible here.
I think this is the best one here.
He's super sad, man. That's what he is.
He's a
sad
man. Well, it's great that you think that because that's what they were shooting for, right?
No, it's just unpleasant to watch. It's just not a fun experience. I know this movie is not going for like levity, like the MCU, right? Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder just leaned the opposite. He's like, you know, I'm the anti-Joss Whedon, which is why it's sad that Joss Whedon came in for Justice League. But okay. But that doesn't mean your actor needs to just be one note all the time. He doesn't have the range. It's not his fault. But we have to sit through it.
Is that a script thing or a Henry Cavill thing? I think it's a script thing in this situation because that's what they wrote Superman's character in this movie to be like. But moving on, let's talk about Ben Affleck, man. I think he killed it.
I think it's important to talk about the hoopla that surrounded Ben Affleck being casted as Batman. Hmm. Everybody was dreading it. Partly because they hate Ben Affleck, partly because people love to dread, and partly also because...
It's Batman and people are like...
And it's Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
But also partly because of Daredevil. He'd already screwed up one superhero movie. He himself hated the experience. And so we're like, okay, here we go again. I have to say, I didn't form much of an opinion before, but he surprised me. He wasn't bad.
He was really good. And you know, the Batman that they showed is something that they haven't shown in movies yet.
Like, it's the Dark Knight Returns one.
Yeah, it's like a 2-decade-old Batman who's been fighting crime. He's gritty. He's broke. And he's also like running Wayne Enterprises as well.
Grizzled is the word that came to mind.
Grizzled. And like, you know, like slight facial hair, bulked up. And the suits that they used in this movie, I think each, especially the exoskeleton suit, man, it was amazing. And I think he did a great job carrying all of that.
I think the suits are brilliant because, again, straight from Dark Knight Returns and really well portrayed.
Only the exoskeletons from the Dark Knight Returns. Everything else is different.
Okay, that's what stuck with me. I mean, the other suit was like, every Batman suit has like, you know, some positives. Some have nipples.
George Clooney.
Right, George Clooney. But I think Ben Affleck did a great job. Yeah, he bulked up. He did put through the grizzled vibe for sure.
Yeah.
But I think the environment, you know, Jeremy Irons helped a lot with that as well. Like, their back and forth a little bit established him as like sat flick.
I think Jeremy Irons was underutilized. Yeah.
Unless Jeremy Irons...
He literally doesn't interact with anyone else with Batman in the movie, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's fine. It's Alfred's job. He does interact with Martha for a moment.
For a moment, yeah.
Yeah. But I'll grant it to him. I'll grant it to him. He didn't screw up the movie. The warehouse scene was great. But all this just keeps making me think about the potential, man. You know, you brought up the suits. You brought up like the exoskeleton suit and Batman. The trailer, the Comic-Con teaser. Do you remember the Comic-Con teaser? It was Do You Bleed? The world lost it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just see Batman and Superman. You see Superman in the rain and he just goes like, do you bleed? Mm-hmm. Superman flies away. You will.
Yeah.
We're like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
And then after that, the best part has already been revealed. So you can't enjoy that. Which brings me to another thing. And my first concession, the part that was revealed in the promotion for this movie that I was super excited about, Wonder Woman.
I agree.
Gal Gadot.
I think they handled it very well.
Gal Gadot.
Huh. Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm. Let's call her Wonder Woman, Vidur.
Wonder Woman.
For your ease of...
The Israeli beauty.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot. Okay. She kind of kills it in this movie. She's barely in it.
Which was the point?
She's so alarmingly attractive.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That helps.
That entire sequence of the party and then her and Batman's interaction and all, I was just like, nah.
But what locked it for me is that when she comes to fight, that one smile she gives when she's knocked on the ground, and you can tell she's enjoying the battle.
Ashiki. Ashiki right here.
Full on Ashiki.
All right. I'll take that concession. I also think
But I'm conceding it, but I want to point out they spoiled the fact that they get together. In the trailers for Batman versus Superman, they show Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman standing together because they were so desperate. They couldn't trust their movie to do well without it. And then Superman goes like, is she with you? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought she was with you. Why the fuck would you think that? You sent her a photo and called her to come help.
Yeah.
You're the only one who's been interacting with her. Why would you think she's with you?
He doesn't know she's interacting. Gal Gadot or Wonder Woman at that point in time is a mystery to everyone, to the viewers, to Batman. And so he doesn't know if she's been talking to Superman.
They should have kept her mystery away from the trailers instead of...
Well, they also had to intro that theme firstly, which seems like they worked so hard on, which I'm not the biggest fan of. And you know trailers in superhero movies, man. They tend to do this all the time.
And they show Doomsday. So you look at the movie, you're like, well, I guess they'll come together because there's a shot of the three of them and then they'll fight Doomsday.
Yeah.
It's horrible. They just reveal everything.
Well, all the trailers do that, especially for like these new age action movies. They do that. So I make it a point not to watch trailers for movies I'm interested in. Works out like a charm. You should give it a shot.
I'll try my best.
For Wonder Woman, I also think what they did really well was how they handled it, because they were setting up Wonder Woman the movie and Justice League the movie. They didn't reveal enough, just like a picture of World War One. So that intrigue about who she is, where she's coming from, still remains even after the movie.
Come to think of it, I like the fact that they connect the picture into the Wonder Woman movie.
Right, exactly.
In the picture,
and they show Chris Pine in the picture.
Yeah, but the fact that she's been a bystander since World War One does make you super confused. And now it's like 4 years later, the Wonder Woman 1984 movie is coming out, which is going to justify it somehow.
Yeah,
but it doesn't make any sense. It always just sacrifices logic, man. That's what makes me so sad.
Well, they don't give you enough to build logic or sense on top of it. Like they just
call that a concession.
That's not a concession. I think that's a pro. That's an overwhelming pro, because they're setting up these movies in a beautiful way.
But even within the logic of the movie, okay, Wonder Woman shows up. She's fighting Doomsday.
Right.
That Batman has brought back to Gotham. By the way, why? Hey, by the way, one of the scenes in the movie that I always love thinking about, you know, people won't realize with age, but they say that the island that Doomsday is on is uninhabited.
Yeah.
Because whatever, it's downtown post-work. You know why they said that, right? Because of all the slack they got for Man of Steel just destroying Metropolis.
And also how they tackled it in the first scene of this movie. Like, that's where Batman's anger is coming from, right? They actually take that head on.
They actually do take that.
So I really like that first scene as well, because it's showing what destruction it's causing in Metropolis from the point of view of such a central character who's on the street and actually seeing the destruction firsthand.
I actually grant you that. I wouldn't call it a concession. Again, the trailer spoiled it. The Ben Affleck running towards the smoke. Great scene. But if I've seen it in the trailer, I mean, I won't enjoy it as much. But anyway, I will grant that.
There's still enough to enjoy in that scene, because there's so much more to it, right?
But the coolest is when he's running towards the dirt, obviously.
Yeah, that's a cool one-shot feel, but then the entire scene of him actually, and you see the conception of his anger towards Superman from that scene itself. So he's like the man of the people versus the supposed hero of the people who's actually destroying everything inside. So I love the way that they tackled that, as opposed to what the MCU did with Civil War, where they like Iron Man's whole thing about why he turns because a black lady comes and talks to him and then he feels bad.
It's not just that. And they both are talking about consequences, man. You know, I think MCU and Civil War just did it so much better. And I just can't, I haven't even talked about like half the times this movie doesn't make any sense in terms of logic, but let's just finish it with the ending, man. The death of Superman.
Yeah. You know, he's not dead, man. Come on. Even when they're burying him, you know he's not dead.
Let's talk about that.
Especially because we know the Dawn of Justice is going to lead to a Justice League movie.
You're making my point for me. Then why do it? I mean, why are you trying to pretend that there are stakes? I know this is like comic book movies. Comic book movies are famous for killing characters, bringing them back. But actually, the death of Superman was one of the few times it was presented as like a big final, like, this is going to be it kind of thing. Obviously, it was.
More as a marketing activity than anything.
Fair enough. And then they show the dirt in the thing.
Yeah.
And that dirt doesn't mean anything, because then Justice League is actually dead. They bring him back using those mother boxes.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. There's no consistency.
Well, don't fault this movie for the faults that Justice League had.
Of course I will. No. Zack Snyder still made it.
No, but okay. Then what this movie is supposed to be versus what Justice League came out to be, that's a completely different thing. We're talking about this movie.
Okay, Justice League is convoluted, right? But even within this movie, why does Superman even die? Why does he decide to commit suicide by Doomsday? He has a Kryptonian spear that Lois Lane, by the way, throws into the water and then tries to rescue and then gets caught and then...
Let me just get that out of the way. Lois Lane in all three movies and everything. Yeah, 100%. I don't know what they've done with that character. That character was so strong in the comics, in the cartoons. Like, she actually had a pivotal role to play every time she was present.
Yeah.
And here she's just like this we're supposed to believe like some excellent journalist.
She literally says, I'm a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter in Man of Steel. Man.
And she gets worse in Justice League as well. Just that character handling of Lois Lane in the entire DCU.
It makes me dislike Amy Adams.
I agree.
Something I didn't think possible.
I agree.
So Lois Lane has this whole Kryptonian sphere thing.
And then she almost like tries to like drown while getting it.
Yeah,
like...
yeah. Then he superheroes her rescuing. It's not even
mid-fight. Mid-fight.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. You're granting me all of this. Thanks.
Anything Lois Lane, I can't help, man. I can't do anything. I can't defend that.
Okay, then he has the spear.
Yeah.
And then he's looking at Doomsday. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, not defeating Doomsday, but holding her own against him.
Barely. Okay. With Batman's help.
He's seen Wonder Woman's powers at work, right? By that point.
Barely. She's done that arm shield clashing situation once.
So why does he decide to do it?
Because firstly, I knew you would bring this up weirdly, but the way the battle was poised at that point of time, Batman was literally hiding behind a wall and like shooting stupid. Like,
you know what? I give credit to the movie for that.
Yeah.
Like, let's not pretend Batman can hold his own against.
Exactly.
Him.
And neither can Wonder Woman. No, she can't. She was fending
off. She's smiling.
Off
her... She's when she gets hit by Doomsday, she smiles.
Yeah, once because she's like, oh my God, you're this strong. Okay, let's see what we have. But then she's parrying his attacks. She's not attacking him.
But she can stab him. She can take the Kryptonian
spear. No, she can't
spear.
Because if she gets close to him, he will rip her to shreds.
How do you know that?
That's evident, man. Doomsday is so powerful.
She's holding her own with a lasso.
She's parrying attacks. That's different than being able to attack. The end of that fight is you attack Doomsday and kill him. She can't do that. Batman definitely cannot do that. Very plain to see. And neither can Wonder Woman. So Superman knows it's up to him. He's the only one who's strong enough to actually go up to Doomsday and stab him in the heart with a kryptonite sword.
And the Kryptonian spear that right before this, when Superman was fighting Batman, was just screwing him up even by proximity. He's now holding it and having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does he know it's going to kill him? Why does he say, this is my world?
Because it's Zord, essentially.
You are my world. I love you. What do you mean it's Zord, essentially? He doesn't even know he's made from Zord.
Everyone knows he's made from Zord. He comes from that bloody ship where Zord's body was there. Everyone but knows that.
You can't assume that Lex Luthor mixed DNA and used ancient Kryptonian, some stupid like technology. But how would that make a difference? How
Everyone
does Superman
knows that it's a Zord mutant. It's plain
Why
to
doesn't
see.
Superman just like fly up and like woof, just throw this spear like a javelin?
Yeah, because Doomsday can see him coming, right? He knows the only surefire way is to up close stab him in the heart. It's weird that you have a problem with that particular point.
I think you deserve a gold medal.
Gold medal?
You know in what?
No, I don't even want to.
Mental gymnastics.
I don't know, man. I think this movie ages well. I think the Ultimate Edition kills it when you start seeing the movie from that context. I ended up seeing both.
I've seen the Ultimate Edition.
I saw both recently for this feud specifically.
It extends a movie that's not that good to begin with.
No, but it adds so much context. And even though it's longer, it actually feels pacier somehow, which is very tricky to do. So
I'm
going to
paraphrase a quote from Batman versus Superman to talk about the Ultimate Edition here. You can dress up a jar of piss as Auntie Grandma's peach tea. That doesn't mean that it is something more than a jar of piss. I don't know what the quote is exactly.
Yeah,
you get
clearly,
what I'm saying?
Clearly.
But the Ultimate Edition doesn't do shit.
You don't think it's 100% better than the theatrical cut?
Yeah, because you know what it doesn't do? Is like this character died and then after the fact you find out, oh, that was Jimmy Olsen. That's the experience of watching this movie in theater. So, okay, the Ultimate Edition is badly edited in the sense it's not tight enough, but at least you don't have questions like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's badly edited, firstly. I think it's a very well put together film. And
And you loved the hipster Brooklyn boy Jimmy Olsen with the scarf.
Yeah, yeah. And also how much more context it provides to important scenes in this movie.
There's only one scene I care about in this movie, and that's the second concession I have for you, is the actual fight. The 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of Batman fighting Superman.
Right.
I'm still a kid at heart.
Love it, right?
I still had my action figures fighting each other.
And this is the first time on screen we saw the exosuit in play. So like its ability to fight Superman and come to par with him at or try to physically.
I mean, kryptonite gun,
grenade launcher,
attack, plus exosuit, plus...
That was pretty insane, man.
Is the only way Batman can ever fight Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw it happen. I enjoyed it.
And also the warehouse Martha rescue scene. That was like really good fight choreography.
It doesn't even compare. I mean, that's nowhere close to a concession. It's whatever. Yeah, you show Batman like going rogue and essentially
and
with
all his gadgets in play, like...
If Batman's willing to kill people, he can be like super badass. So yeah. That's what you see in that. But the Batman-Superman fight... Listen, man, they could have done the fight anywhere if they just done it with like a $50 million budget for that fight, which I assume it was. It would have been great. So that's what it was. And I like Zack Snyder. He like does good visuals, right?
So good visuals, good action, yeah.
That's the only time it comes through. So great. At least we have that. If like 50 years from now, we look back to the first time Batman fought Superman on screen, we'll have that. By the way, it's already happened the next time and it sucked, which was in Justice League. So like...
That's a mini
At least
fight.
We have that.
Mini fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was fighting the entire Justice League, which I think was one of the highlights of the movie.
So that's all I grant. That's my concession. Gal Gadot.
Ashiki.
And the
Batman versus Superman
fight.
I'll take it. I actually think the warehouse scene was equally good in terms of the fight sequence. So I that was pretty cool.
Ugh. Are we done? I have a summation for my feelings of this movie.
Please.
Because I love Zack Snyder, as I already said.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a sucker punch of comic book movies.
Oh, wow, dude.
You like that? You like the double entendre?
That's a low blow. That's a low blow.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film For You. Thank you for listening. And thank you once again to Naren, whose full name I don't know how to pronounce. I think it's like Narenthira Kumar.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Going off
sure.
With Insta here. That's BuildTech Naren on Insta. Thank you once again for asking us to feud this movie. Hope you enjoyed, Naren, and hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for listening. Now, we feud it. You guys get to vote and let us know who you think won the feud. You can find us on all our social media at Muncha Movies or on our YouTube, also at Muncha Movies.
And if you guys listen to podcasts, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Castbox, and more, or our website, munchamovies.com.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.